I've shook a lot of people's hands since I've been here. And everybody's hands that I shook, I've asked them, how were they? How was their church? Oh, Brother Sizemore, we're doing fine. Doing great. But I wonder sometimes, even in our local churches, you know, you do that to your home folks, and how they doing, glad to see them here. But many times, there's silent voices in their heart saying and crying out, no, I'm really not all right. I'm really not feeling very well. It's my prayer this afternoon that God would hover over this auditorium here. From the very corner over there to the very corner back here. Walk up and down these aisles. He hears the voice. And He knows what you're going through today. And He knows the things that's troubling you. Cast your care on Him today. Cast your care on Him. If you have your Bible, I'd like to read a scripture today. If you would turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Then we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah for a few moments. Again, I give honor to our organization and all of the ministering brethren that are here this afternoon and everybody that has gathered. Let's have church for a little while. Amen. Somebody could be healed today. I know we've all come from different walks of life. Many personalities are gathered here, but we're on common ground. Jesus is our common denominator. Yes, He is. And I have preached this message before. Maybe some of you have heard this, but I've tried to get away from it, and I can't. And I believe the Lord would want to speak to us this afternoon. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. And the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Jeremiah chapter 25. And verse number 8, the prophet is trying to get Israel's attention. And he says, in the 8th verse of the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all those nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, will I take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. I'd like to preach today just on that very simple verse that Jeremiah speaks of in this 10th verse. For he says, because you haven't hearkened unto my words, you haven't listened and lent an ear unto me, I'm going to take these many voices away, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And I'd like to preach today on the subject, the sounding of the millstone. The sounding of the millstone. Folks, we need the sounding of the millstone. Would you honor the Lord as we worship Him in prayer? Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, touch us now. Fill this house, O God, with your presence. Move, O God, upon this people today in the name of Jesus. For we know, Lord, that you are able to touch and you are able to hearken unto us. I worship you and I love you and I magnify you. Bless us now and anoint us, O God, in this house. For this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And everybody said, Amen. Turn to your neighbor and shake hands with them. Amen. Greet them. Smile at them. Laugh at them. Do something. Let them know that you're alive. That you're not dead. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We find here in the words of the Lord and in the book of the Bible, history lets us know that it was the mill that became a very important and a very precious commodity to every Hebrew family in history, really even yet today. In fact, according to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 6, we find that the millstone was so important to the Hebrew families that there was a law that the Lord gave to Israel forbidding anyone to take the millstone to pledge. In other words, they were not allowed to mortgage it. They were not allowed to get rid of it on any certain terms. Every family had their own mill. It was termed the mill. In the Bible days, the mill was called a saddle kern. It was about 24 inches by 18 inches and was slightly curved. And later times, you find the two stones, one laid on top of another, where two individuals would sit down, and many in the Bible times, it was mostly the women that did this, but they would gather at the mill. And one would drop the grain. It had a little hole in the top. One would drop the grain consistently in that hole, while the other one would grind the grain, whether it be corn or wheat or whatever type of grain that they had, and thus crushing the grain for use. Now, in Solomon's and Jeremiah's day, the corn was generally ground even before the day began, or before the sun rose in the morning time. The mother of the house would go and get her meal and her corn, and before anybody else in the house got up, she would commence to grinding the corn. And because of this, throughout the town, you could hear what was called the sounding of the mill, because a noise was heard. Reminded of Jay Chardon's remarks, he said that everywhere in the morning could be heard the noise or the sound of the mills, for they would grind every day just as much as was necessary for that day's consumption. However, if for some reason the sounding of the mill was not heard, it would let the rest of the community and the rest of the town know that something's wrong in the house. That desolation had come. Somebody's not doing their job. There's no noise. There's no sound of the mill. And if there was no sound of the mill, then that let them know that that house was not going to get any bread for the day. There was not going to be any food that would be consumed. And it brought a sense of danger. It brought a sense of suspicion. In other words, if the grinding of the mill is not heard, then there's something wrong somewhere. Amen. If there's no sounding of this mill that ground every morning, and you could hear it throughout all the town, Brother Carter, and all the community, you could hear this grinding noise. It was a very odd sound, but you knew that People were alive in the house. Something was going on. Food was being produced. Bread was about to be baked. Amen. And if there's no sound, then somebody's not going to get any food. And somebody or something's going on in the house that is wrong. How can, if I could say this morning or this afternoon, how can the children eat if the corn isn't first ground? The house will not survive unless somebody is grinding some corn. I'm going to preach here in a minute. Hallelujah. God came to Israel and said, Israel, because ye have not heard my words, behold, the voice of the millstone will not be heard. I'm going to take it away from you. Solomon said, there's coming a day when the keepers of the house are going to tremble. The strong man is going to have to bow themselves. And the grinders will cease because they are few. A day when the sounding of the grindstone is not going to be heard. Hallelujah. May I give us kind of a spiritual analysis of this afternoon? Here we are at the close of the 20th century. Amen. We are triumphant Pentecostals. Amen. I believe that today because God's bride is still alive. Amen. We are victorious because the blood-stained banner is still waving high above His church. Hallelujah. I believe tonight that the church of the living God, we've come through depression. We've come through recession. Amen. The church of the living God has provided food, has provided strength, has provided healing, has provided deliverance. Hallelujah. God has protected us. God has blessed us. God has uplifted His people. God has come down when we thought that He was many miles away and has touched us in a great way. Yet we are living in a day in which there, if I could say houses, there are churches today where it would seem that the sound of the millstone is not heard. Nobody, it seems, wants to grind the corn anymore. Amen. I've been in some churches, sad to say, but the prayer rooms have become desolate. Hallelujah. It seems that the Sunday school rooms has lost their burden and has lost their drive and has lost their really purpose of why we're gathering together. No sounds of praise, no sounds of worship are heard. Some churches, Billy Sunday said one time, you know, there's some churches whose aisles are so cold you could ice skate down. Amen. Some are so cold you can hang a country ham in them and keep for 6 months. Well, that's pretty cold. That's pretty cold. But tonight or this afternoon, if all of us, if we really want apostolic succession. Amen. And I preached at my church just a few weeks ago. I said, folks, I'm looking for a greater dimension in spiritual insight. I'm looking for some greater things for God to do for us. Amen. It's not enough to come and go through the formality. It's not enough to come and go that by our doxologies and our programs. My friend, it's not enough to do that. We've got to hear a greater sound. We've got to see a greater witness. We've got to see God come down in our midst and bless us like He wants to bless us. And if we're going to get anything from God, then we better be obedient to His voice and say, God, touch me, heal me, give me what I need in this hour. Somebody shout hallelujah today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have time to quit praying. We don't have time to cause the sounding of the grinding of the blessings of God to cease. Tonight the church of the day, the church of the living God, I believe we are being called on like never before, folks. Amen. There are children. They still need to be taught in Sunday school. Amen. There are husbands and wives that are going to need the church to help them in their marriage. Hallelujah. There are parents who's going to need to train their children in the way they should go. And if we don't hear some noise coming out of the prayer rooms, if we don't hear some noise coming out of the music, if we don't hear some noise coming out of the people of God, then my friend, God's going to withdraw His power. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we've got some folks here in Monroe, Louisiana, that's willing to say, yes, Brother Sizemore, I'm going to make a sound for Jesus. I want to make a sound for the glory of the Lord.
Yeah. Woo.
Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah today. Oh, I'm about to run here in a minute. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. May I say, there's more than just music that comes out of this piano. There's more than just words, Brother Carter, that comes across this sacred desk. Amen. There's more than just a sound that comes out of the voices of the choir. But there is a sound of anointing. Every time the piano player plucks the ivories, there's more than just music rolling out of here, but there is an anointing that rolls out of here. Amen. There's more than just oration words that comes across, but there's an anointing that flows through the microphone system and out into the ears of the people of God. Hallelujah. We have got to make some sounds today. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Sound another millstone. Glory. I'm here to tell you tonight, I still believe it takes baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. It still takes speaking in other tongues as the evidence of the Holy Ghost and fire. Still takes water baptism. It still takes holiness. Amen. Righteousness and living is simply put living right. Just simply living right. Hallelujah. But if I can, you know, it'd be easy for me to step up in my church and compromise. Sure it would. It'd be easy for me to do that. Give in to the demands of our society. Sound of the millstone will become low. And it's when you don't hear the grinding of the mill, my friend, that you start hearing everything else. It's when the millstone gets low. No food's being produced. No apostolic succession is flowing through our aisles. It's when that ceases, my friend, that we hear everything else but what God wants us to hear. Amen. And the whole world is hearing a lot of things that they don't need to hear. Amen. I came across a couple of articles. Let me share them with you. Amen. A young lady in my church brought me some of these articles, and she's involved in a lot of things that are going on in the state of Indiana as far as legal things are concerned. And she gave me an article that a gentleman by the name of John Goodland wrote in the Introduction to Schooling of a Global Age. He made these remarks. The most, and I quote, "The most controversial issues of the 21st century will pertain to the ends and means of modifying human behavior, and who will determine them. The first educational questions will not be what knowledge is the most worth, but what kinds of human beings do we wish to produce?" And the possibilities really defy the imagination. Nebraska State Senator Peter Hoagland expressed the global values when he said on national radio just recently, he made this quote. He said, "Fundamental Bible-believing people do not have the right to indoctrinate their children in their faith. We are preparing them for the year 2000 when America will be part of a one-world global society." I read that and I thought, dear God, folks, the world's hearing everything but what they need to hear. Yes, they are, and they're getting it from all kind of medias and all kind of communication ways. The Planned Parenthood and her anti-family allies, they have passed a bill in the state of Indiana already that starting next year of the school year 1989, that they're going to teach these things. Number one, that family life is just another name for sex education. That children in kindergarten through the 12th grade are mandatory to receive this kind of instruction. Amen. They're going to teach homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle. They're going to teach that sex outside of marriage, including the sex by children, is acceptable. They're going to teach abortion as an acceptable form of birth control. They're going to teach that a family is merely two people that live together in an intimate relationship, and that's all. And that's what our world is hearing. That's what our society is hearing. Here recently, you've heard of the New Age movement. The things that are going on in this particular, could I say, cult. Their principal aim of their plan is to establish a one world New Age religion and a one world political and social order. The New Age world religion will be a revival of the idolatrous religion of ancient Babylon. Spirit guides, or demons if you please, will help man inaugurate the New Age and will pave the way for the Antichrist. World peace, love, and unity will be their rallying cries. New Age leaders and believers will spread the apostasy that Jesus is neither God nor the Christ. Christianity and all other religions are to become integral parts of the New Age world. And this is what really shocked me. But their plans is that Christians who resist the plan will be dealt with. If necessary, they will be exterminated from the world. And according to them, the world will be purified. I came across an article just the other day. It talks about communism. And the title of it was, Pray for Communism. Jane Fonda, speaking to a group of students at Michigan State University, said, and I quote, I would think that if you understand what communism was, you would pray on your knees that we would someday become communists. Unquote. And I ask you today, who is she going to pray to? Amen. For last I heard, communists didn't believe in God. And the world is hearing sounds over sounds over sounds. Our children, they're hearing everything. But the right thing. But I believe tonight that the Church of the Living God, folks, I believe that we can outsound that. Hallelujah. Amen. Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we can outgrind the world. I think we can raise to the forefront at this hour and say, world, you can do what you want to. You can say what you want to. You can go where you want to. But for me and my house, we are going to lift the bloodstained banner high, and we're going to serve the name of Jesus like He's never been served before. We need the sound of a millstone grinding in this hour, and let the world know that Jesus still heals. Jesus still saves. Jesus still moves upon His people. And I'm going, oh, hallelujah. I'm glad today that I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody shout amen. We need to make some sounds today. Let's praise the Lord right now, everybody. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our problem today is we've got too many born originals that are dying as copies. Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And went on to say, Brother Carter, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. Jesus said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I don't know about you tonight, folks, but when I got the Holy Ghost, I made a sound. Amen. It's called speaking in tongues. Woo! Amen. A language I didn't have to go to any university to learn. I didn't have to take a book course of how to sound out all the vowels. No. When I got on my knees at Indiana camp in 1965, I was playing the drums, and my sister was in back of the tabernacle, and she was just praising God and get the Holy Ghost. And I said, now listen, you know, me and her, we was kind of in competition who'd get the Holy Ghost first. And I ran back there, and there she was. And I just sat down in the seat in front of her. We had those old wooden benches over there at Lake Placid. And I sat down there and just put my head between my knees, and I started praying. And it wasn't long until I was making a sound that I'd never made before. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me, folks, that the Holy Ghost is not necessity. Don't tell me that speaking in tongues is not necessity. If you get the Holy Ghost, my friend, you got to make a sound. I said you got to make a sound. Hallelujah. Oh, this place is too short up here. I'm going to have to move out of here in a minute. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said that the grinders would cease because they are few. The reason for the grinders being few, and I didn't know this until I studied this out, but the reason they were few was due to the fact that by this time, because of evil and the infirmities associated with old age, now this is not against any of you elders today, but because of the disease and the infirmities that were associated with them, that over a period of time, the Hebrews' teeth decayed. Many of the elderly had no teeth. So, the few that remained, because they had tooth decay, were incapable of properly chewing hard substances of food. So they stopped the grinders. I mean, what good is grinding corn if nobody can chew it? Oh, hallelujah. The demand for corn or food of any substance was gone. Only soft, pulpy substances that required no chewing became their main diet. May I say today, it would seem that there are those that are in our ranks who have lost their teeth. Their spiritual food diet has changed. Seems like nobody likes a good hard sermon anymore. Amen. Everybody cringes up when you talk about righteousness and living. Amen. Nobody likes a good meaty sermon. Something they can chew, something they can sink their teeth in, something that they can swallow and digest and take home and bless their soul. And the reason is because they don't have any teeth to sink it into. And so all they live on is the soft stuff. We got a lot of folks living off of strained Gerber products. Yogurt. Junk food Christians. Hearing everything else but what their pastor says. Oh, hallelujah. They're trying to live off of the soft things. But folks, there comes a time that you've got to, if you don't have no teeth, and you need to get you some dentures and say, Pastor, I need something in this system of mine. Amen. And pastor's just going to take us hitting a prayer room and getting some corn in our meals and grinding out some food for our people. Amen. We need some food. Folks in my church, they come to church looking for something they can hear, looking for some food, looking for something I can give them. Amen. And I'm convinced that I've decided I'm not going to give out any soft stuff. I'm not going to try to, you know, make their taste buds jump. God don't need softies in the church. He's looking for some real men. He's looking for some real women that have some meat on their bones. Hallelujah, that are ready to perform and produce the will of God in this hour. We need to hear the sound of the millstone. It needs to grind in our churches. It can grind right here in Monroe, Louisiana. Amen. We can make a sound like Monroe has never heard before. Oh, yes. Amen. And that is the baptism of the name of Jesus Christ, that there is still one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and that there is a trumpet that's going to sound one of these days, and I want to hear it. Somebody must pray the victory down. Somebody's got to carry the burden of the church. Somebody must allow the anointing of God to flow. Not just once in a while, but daily, every morning. The sound's got to be heard. The sound's got to be heard. And folks, it might as well start right here. It might as well start right now. Hallelujah. If not, then the world's going to think desolation's come to our house. I want to give you a sermon, all you preachers. Matthew chapter 27. Jesus on the cross. He cried out a loud voice. He hung his head. Gave up the ghost. Some phenomenal things happened. But the very next verse says that they could not resurrect until after Jesus resurrected. So I have reason to believe, Brother Carter, that those saints that were there, the Bible says they rose in their graves. Doesn't say they came out. But they rose up in their graves and they became alive. But they had to wait for 3 days in that grave, alive, before Jesus could resurrect. Can you imagine, my friend? Let me borrow this chair. Can you imagine? Here those saints were, and all of a sudden the Lord gave up the ghost and they just raised right up in their grave. Dirt on all sides. Entombed. But alive. And they had to wait there for 3 days. When's he coming out? When's he coming out? All they could see, maybe the tombstone opened up and they could see the blue sky and knew when it was day and when it was night. I don't know. But the Bible says they could not come out until Jesus came out because He was the first resurrection. There they sat in that grave, entombed. I've seen a lot of folks come to church that way. They come to church and man, they're dead. And the Lord opens up life to them, but they're still in the tomb. They never move. They never shout. They never get with it. No signs of life. Oh, but Brother Sizemore, I'm tired. I've worked 8 hours. I'm tired. Who's ever heard that? Huh? I'm tired. Can I encourage all of you for a little while today? Is when, if you work 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, we grow watermelons in our country. And I help my Sunday school superintendent set out watermelons. And last week I put in like 15 hours a day just cultivating watermelons and yet still go to church and still pray and still preach. Folks come, oh, we got a lot of nodders in our church. That's right. But they're dead. They're dead. If you worked all day and you're so tired, would you at least when you come to church find enough strength to get your elbow on back of the pew and get your hand up in the air and at least raise a finger? Amen. Show us that you've got some life in you. Amen. You know, a lot of people, boy, they're in tune, man. They got a bad attitude. Oh, but aside where I've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years. Great. Wonderful. Boy, they come to church. Oh, too loud. I know this is conference, but... Hallelujah. We got a lot of folks that's just entombed in the grave. Yeah, the Lord's opened up life to them. God's given them the Holy Ghost. But man, they're waiting for some explosion to happen, something to pick them up out of the grave. Folks, the only way they got out of the grave is they climbed out of it themselves. And the Bible says, Brother Willis, they went into the city and they showed themselves to the people. Can you imagine what happened to that city? Huh? Man, I'm sure it scared them half to death. It would me. It would me. I've never seen a dead person come to life. Now, I've been to a few funerals where they raised up in the casket, but that's as far as it went. We just sat them back down. Went on. That's right. That's right. Oh, don't he look natural? That's the most confusing statement I've ever heard in my life. If you come to my funeral, don't tell me I look natural. I'll be dead and gone. If I look natural then, don't tell what I look now. My Lord. There they were entombed, waiting to come out of the grave. I've got some saints in my church, and I know you do too, that are just sitting waiting. They're entombed. They're bound by fear. They're bound by problems. They're bound by a bad attitude. Folks, it's time for a mood change. It's time for an attitude change. Amen. It's time to get the folks that are dead and get them alive. God wants some life in His church. God wants a sound in His church. And we better let the world know, hey world, if this house is not desolated, we've not stopped sounding, but we've got some food in here. We've got some corn in here. We've got something to supply our need. God has got the answer that you need. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! I'm talking about the sound of the millstone. Jesus is the answer, my friend. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. One last point I want to make. And I never knew this before until I began to study it out. But in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 41, Jesus is prophesying about the last days. And He said, two women shall be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and the other one left. What a sad dilemma. Here are two people doing the same thing, expecting the same results, but one is taken and the other one is left. And I thought, why? What was wrong? They were doing the same thing, expecting the same results, using the same coin. What was it that caused one to go and the other one to stay behind? The meaning seems to be, and as I was studying this out, that the closer Jesus, I believe, was referring to, that the closer we get to the rapture of the church, and because of so much evil and calamity in the world, that no two persons, wherever they are and whatever they're doing, will not be able to agree and work together on the same thing. Here they were, and evidently they just couldn't get along. Here they were. Brother Carter, pull your chair up here. We're gonna sit down there. Amen. Here was the millstone, and it had a handle on it. Grab a hold of this handle here. All right. Now history says that they had to turn it in a clockwise fashion. So we got to go this way, grinding the corn. But Jesus said, two will be sitting at the mill, doing the same thing, in the same church, serving the same God. Amen. But one wants to go this way, and the other one wants to go this way. And so, what are they doing? Fighting against one another. Can't agree. Amen. One's mad at the other one. Upset. Bad attitude. They can't get it together. And at the same time, all they're doing is fighting, and nothing's getting ground. Nothing's getting accomplished. No corn is being crushed. Nothing's being done for God. How many times in our churches, folks, amen, we get together and we do more fighting than we do praising God? Folks, it's time to put our gloves down and say, hey, we got to get this thing together. It's too important in these last days. Amen, folks. I don't want to happen when the trumpet sounds. I don't want to be left at the mill. I don't want to be left in the church. I don't want to be left knowing how to do it, but not being able to go because God would not honor my faith. But God, help me
to agree and to work with my brother and to work with my sister and get an attitude change and a mood change and say, God, let you be God and you touch my soul. Hallelujah. That's right. They was grinding there and had a bad attitude. Couldn't get along. Jesus says, all right, I'm only going to take one of them. I'm just going to take one of them. What a sad dilemma, folks, it would be that you've been in church all your life and worked for God all your life, but you never make it to heaven. Simply because, well, I don't like Brother so-and-so. Oh, he corrected my children the other day. I'll never forgive him. That's what they say. That's what they say in Indiana. That's right. Folks, your salvation tonight is not based on how many times you come to church. Our salvation is not based on how much you put in the offering. Your salvation is not justified by being a board member, getting to sing in the choir. Your salvation, my friend, is your only way out of here, and it's dependence upon your performance at the meal. And how you perform in the work of God, how much you pray, how much you work together, how much you agree together, amen, is going to determine your destination in the eyes of God. And I don't want it to be said that David Sizemore preached and he preached his heart out, amen, and pastored people and then could not agree and get along with folks and missed the whole thing that God's preparing for us. My God, folks, we don't have time to do that. Amen. Let's not sling the corn. Let's not throw the corn at one another. Amen. Let's not get mad like kids and say, well, bless God. Amen. You came and you stole all my people. I say that with love today. But you know what I'm talking about. There's a meal that's got a sound. It's got a sound in this hour. It's got a sound in this day. Grain, a generous supply of grain seems to indicate a well-fed people. Think of the importance placed on Joseph's task of storing that extra grain during the 7 years of plenty in Egypt. But it was during the famine, the Bible says, that all countries came to Egypt, to Joseph, to buy some corn. Folks, I believe within our churches around the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got plenty of grain. Our grain bins are full. Our silos are full. Amen. And there's going to be a famine in the last days of the Word of God. Let's let the world know, hey, world, come on over here. World, we've got what you need. World, we've got the grain. We've got what you need. We've got plenty of it over here. You just come on over. We've got healing for your sickness. We've got the answer for your dilemma. We've got uplifting for your depression. We've got it, what it takes. Folks, let's let the world know about it. Let's stand if you would. Hallelujah. The sound of the millstone. Hallelujah. I believe in this hour, the Church of the Living God, we've got some extra grain to share. And we need to let our cities, we need to let our communities, we need to let our country, we need to let our loved ones know that we have plenty of grain and we've got the answer for them. If you're depressed tonight, God's got the answer for you. If you want healing, there's plenty to go around. If you want the Holy Ghost, heaven's silos are full. Plenty. Amen. He's got wagons. Bible said, Jacob sat there on the rock. He saw his brothers coming home from Egypt. Joseph loaded up the wagons. The Bible says, when Jacob's eyes were cast upon the wagons that were coming back from Egypt, his spirit revived. Folks, wagons are on the way. Wagons are on the way. Wagons of blessings. Wagons of joy. Wagons of answer. Folks, Jesus has got everything you need. He's got everything I need. He's got everything for your church. A couple weeks ago, I was wrestling with a very severe problem with myself. Nobody else but myself. Maybe some of you pastors have gone through this. If you have, you know what I'm talking about. A voice came to me and said, "Well, Brother Sizemore, might as well look for someplace else to go. Can't get your people to work. Nobody wants to do anything. Nobody wants to come to prayer meetings. Nobody wants to win souls. Done all you can do. You might as well look someplace else." And I wrestled with that thing. I took out on a week's fast, and I began to spend most of my time at the church. I called all the men in our church together. I said, "Men, we're the leadership of this church. You're the leaders of your homes and of your families. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. We're going to seek God. We need to change some things." And I told my church, "Church, I'm looking for a greater dimension and spiritual insight. I'm looking for some greater things than just the norm. More than just the average." And I was praying, and it dawned on me that it was nothing but the voice of the enemy trying to convince me work's done, people won't respond, go someplace else. When I finally dawned on me what it was and who I was wrestling with, Brother Willis, I went to my closet spiritually and I put my fatigues on. And I picked up my helmet and my sword and my shield. And I girded myself. I said, "Oh, Satan, I come to you in the name of the Most High God of Israel. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." I called him, "You uncircumcised Philistine." And I began to do battle. That next Sunday night, the Spirit of the Lord hit our church like I had never seen it before. I started the service. We started singing like we normally do. And the power of God moved into that place. To make a long story short, I preached first and we sang last. I just undid the whole thing. And we get in such a rut. I said, "Folks, we're just going to let God have His way here tonight." And man, the Spirit of God began to move. And I saw folks shout that I had never seen shout before. And I'd been there 8 years. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." The millstone is sounding. The mill is sounding. The grain is being crushed. God is working. God has not left us out, folks. He's not forsaken His people. He still loves us. Let's love Him right now, everybody. Oh, la la mahasanda la 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 mahandaya. Oh, God. God, don't let the sound of the millstone cease. Don't let the strong men lose their strength. Don't let the keepers of the house, God, begin to wallow in their own self-pity. But, oh, God, let the sound of the corn, let the Word of God be produced in this hour. Let the world know that there is a sound that is comforting to their ears, that is sweet to their understanding. Lord, that there is a noise, that there is a live power that is still functioning and moving, that can encourage us and bless us and allow us to do the will of God in this hour, in this time. Let's sing a chorus.
He is alive forever.
Hallelujah.
To reign. Let the whole world know
Jesus.
Say.
Sing it. Let's let Him know.
Let the whole world know that Jesus saves. Lift your hands and rejoice.
Oh, yes. He's here today.
Praising
He's here today.
He is
the grind, the corn's alive. Being crushed. The sound
forever
is being heard.
To reign.
Oh, yes.
Let the whole world know Jesus. Say,
oh, sing it.
Let the whole world know.
Sing it.
That Jesus saves. Lift your hands and rejoice, praising His name. For He is alive forever to reign. Let the whole world know Jesus saves. Oh, let the whole world know that Jesus saves. Lift your hands and rejoice, praising His name. He is alive forever to reign. Let the whole world know Jesus saves.
Hallelujah. Now I'm happy to be in this convention. Thrilled for the God's blessings allowing me to be here safely. But there's going to come a greater day when we gather on the other side, and they come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They come from Ohio and Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Florida. We gather around the throne. It's going to be a glad day. There'll be no more clouds, no more funerals to attend. You won't hear the cry of the ambulance going in front of your house. Praise God. It'll be a glad day when we step on the other side. Let's sing it together. Glad day when Jesus comes. Glad day when Jesus comes. And no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be no more clouds and no more rain. Glad day when Jesus comes. That'll be glad day when Jesus comes. Glad day. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be no more clouds and no more rain. Glad day when Jesus comes. Oh, glad day when Jesus comes. Oh, glad day when Jesus comes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. There'll be no more clouds. Be glad day when Jesus comes. Oh, be glad day when Jesus comes.